Why wasn't Aragorn already king? If he had such a clear claim to the throne of Gondor, why wasn't he already their ruler? Why hadn't he already claimed his kingdom? Or why hadn't his father or his father? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the best in fantasy and science fiction, books and TV shows. The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher and more. Welcome. Watching the movies of The Lord of the Rings, or sometimes even reading the books, it seems a bit odd that so many people seem to recognise Aragorn as a rightful king, but he isn't king. The movies sort of suggest that this is down to Aragorn not wanting it, or perhaps Gondor not wanting him, which kind of works. But it doesn't explain how Aragorn's predecessors, the line of kings he comes from, also weren't king. They'd been rangers in the north for over a millennium, but seemingly never bothered to claim the southern kingdom, which had been ruled by the stewards for nearly as long. As you'd expect, the answer lies deep back in Middle-earth history, and as we'll see, Aragorn's claim is actually not quite as straightforward as it might at first seem. Way back at the end of the Second Age of Middle-earth, after the fall of Numenor, Elendil founded the Kingdom of Arnor in the north, and his sons Isildur and Anarion founded Gondor in the south and ruled it jointly. Elendil, as their father, was, however, named the High King over the two kingdoms. Then came the war with Sauron and the last alliance of elves and men, and both Elendil and Anarion, his second son, were killed. Isildur assumed the title of High King and King of Arnor, and left his nephew, that's Anarion's son, Meneldil, as King of Gondor. But then Isildur himself was killed before he even made it to Arnor, in the Gladden Fields, losing the One Ring in the river in the process. Isildur's son Valandil then took over the title of King of Arnor. Crucially, Valandil appears not to have claimed the title of High King over Gondor as well, leaving Gondor effectively as an independent kingdom. So Arnor in the north was ruled by the descendants of Isildur, and Gondor in the south was ruled by the descendants of Anarion. Both could therefore claim to come from the line of Elendil, but the rulers of the northern kingdom, as Isildur's heirs, could technically claim to be the High Kings of both Arnor and Gondor, as Elendil and Isildur had, but they didn't. They just stuck to being kings of Arnor in the north. And that's broadly how things stayed for the next couple of thousand years. There were some complications, of course. In the south, there was a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing in the succession, coup attempts, generational jumps in kingship and things like that. And in the north, the kingdom split into three smaller kingdoms. But in the north and the south, the genealogical lines back to Isildur and Anarion were still clear. The two lines, however, were joined once more when Ardovwy, who later became the last king in the north, married Finiel, the daughter and last remaining direct heir of the recently killed King of Gondor. Ardovwy claimed the ancient title of High King and therefore King of Gondor. He had a reasonable claim, and their children would obviously be able to trace their lineage on both sides, but Gondor decided to reject the claim, and instead made one of their own who had a rather more distant claim king instead. As the Council of Gondor said at the time, "The crown and royalty of Gondor belong solely to the heirs of Meneldil, son of Anarion, to whom Isildur relinquished this realm." Denethor repeated this argument in The Lord of the Rings to Gandalf much later when discussing Aragorn's claim. "Even were his claim proved to me, still he comes but of the line of Isildur." A couple of generations later, the line of Gondorian kings dried up completely and the stewards took over. In the north, the last remaining kingdom of Arnor fell and Isildur's heirs were reduced to the rangers we know of. As Tolkien made clear in the appendices to The Lord of the Rings, over the centuries that followed, the ancient history that there had once been another line of kings who claimed the throne of Gondor was largely forgotten or completely unknown to most people. Just some remembered the ancient line of the north, which it was rumoured still lived on in the shadows. So, to summarise Aragorn's legal position, his claim to be Isildur's heir and heir to the long-abandoned Kingdom of Arnor is undisputed, but being Isildur's heir did not in and of itself make him the undisputed heir to Gondor. Gondor had existed without a king, or with the stewards as kings in all but name, for 1,000 years. And when they were ruled by a king, the claim of Aragorn's direct ancestor was explicitly rejected by Gondor. So Aragorn couldn't exactly just walk into Minas Tirith and claim the crown. Denethor would refuse him, and most of the people probably wouldn't recognise his claim either. At this point, we should probably acknowledge that Peter Jackson, perhaps wisely, decided to cut out most of this history and imply that the stewards of Gondor had just been effectively keeping the throne warm for the heirs of Isildur all that time. It certainly makes for an easier dynamic for the casual viewer to understand, but Legolas shouting at Boromir that Aragorn is his rightful king did not and would not have happened in the books. So, what changed? How did Aragorn come to be recognised as the rightful king? How did Gondor finally come to accept him? I think we can get a lot of the answer from Faramir's little speech when proposing him as king after Sauron had been defeated. He said, "Men of Gondor, hear now the steward of this realm. Behold, one has come to claim the kingship again at last. Here is Aragorn, son of Arathorn, chieftain of the Dúnedain of Arnor, captain of the host of the West, bearer of the Star of the North, wielder of the sword reforged, victorious in battle, whose hands bring healing, the Elfstone, Elisar of the line of Valandil, Isildur's son, Elendil's son of Numenor. Shall he be king and enter into the city and dwell there?" And all the host and all the people cried, "Yea," with one voice. So, firstly, Faramir asserted his own authority as steward of Gondor. The stewards may have been ruling Gondor for a millennium, but they were technically just holding on to it until the rightful king claimed the throne. The fact that steward Faramir was proposing Aragorn as king after all that time was important. Without Faramir's backing, it might have been different. Then Faramir lists Aragorn's credentials, and it's quite a list. He is the heir to Arnor, so he's of kingly stock. He was the captain of the host of the West. In other words, he just led them all into battle against Sauron, triumphing in the Battle of the Pelennor Fields. The Star of the North was a jewel, a royal symbol of the Northern Kingdom. The sword reforged was Andúril, formerly Narsil, Elendil's sword, that Isildur had used to cut the ring from Sauron. His hands bringing healing is a reference to an old Gondorian legend that the hands of the king are the hands of a healer, and so shall the rightful king be known. Aragorn snuck into Minas Tirith and healed some people earlier in the story. The Elfstone is a legendary healing stone of the elves given to Aragorn by Galadriel, effectively as a wedding gift, foretelling his marriage to Arwen. And finally, Faramir calls Aragorn's heritage of Numenor, heralding back to the founding of Gondor in the first place by the Numenoreans. There is more in that speech, and there are more evidences of Aragorn's kingship dotted throughout the Lord of the Rings. Just think of the dead men of Dunharrow, for one random example, who followed Aragorn and fulfilled their oath to the rightful king of Gondor. But the point here is that Faramir proposes Aragorn as king not because he is technically the legal heir, because 1,000 years ago his forefather married the daughter of Gondor's king, or because 2,000 years before that Isildur's son technically never relinquished the title of High King of Arnor and Gondor. It's because he has led them to victory and fulfilled prophecy before their eyes, is of Numenor, that height and pinnacle of humanity, and because he is a good man. And crucially importantly, Aragorn became king because all the people wanted him to. All the people cried out their agreement with one voice, we're told. This wasn't just a long-forgotten heir claiming the throne on a genealogical technicality. This was the hero of the hour being made king by popular acclamation. Aragorn may well have been the rightful High King of Gondor, but that is not why he was made king. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.